you spoke about 62%. You weren't really fooling, Doc. You were an honest person, and I know that I'm doing much better than 62% at the present time. But one thing I really realized about the methodology is that you have to have a positive mind. Without the attitude that you are going to be a winner and a constant winner, and you have to keep out the negative thought that you're going to lose, because if you start thinking this way, you're going to start picking out a losing pace line.
That was the voice of John Nick in New Orleans. Hi, I'm Howard Sargent. John is a winner for many reasons, the most important of which is he refuses to lose. He represents the subjective, almost mystical use of the methodology. He's one of the dozen voices you'll hear in the next several hours that will be addressing the subject of picking a pace line and selecting the live contenders in a thoroughbred race. John's almost religious approach is shared by only one other member of the group. The rest are coldly analytical, pragmatic, and objective. The important thing is they are all winners in excess of 70% of the races they handicap with the exact same methodology that you have. They come from all walks of life, professions, and cultural backgrounds. They all use the English language in a slightly different manner, and they play different racing circuits, Louisiana, Chicago, Florida, Maryland, New York, and the West Coast. No one was prepped by me in what to say. These are their own techniques, projected in their own words, off the cuff, individually and in group session. One thing I have noticed in their remarks, and I hope that you will too, is that no one refers to his track as being a special case of being tougher than others. The myth of the hard-to-beat track is just that, a myth, a loser's rationalization. All tracks are equally beatable if you learn its idiosyncrasies. We have a program that will show you how to do just that. More about that at the end of this session. Right now, let's start the ball rolling by rolling the tape of one of the most precise and logical members of our group, author of The Brohammer Model. Here's Tom Brohammer.
Howard, this is Tom Brohammer. I thought probably the best way to approach this pace line subject was to do it with an open racing form in front of me and just kind of record the thoughts in my mind as I go through selecting the pace line. To begin with, I start with an average purse value for every horse in a race. That way it's an easy glance to tell whether or not a horse belongs in a particular race that I'm handicapping. And also, any horse without a whole lot of recency, I can tell whether they belong in this race and if they have enough of a class edge to be able to run well at today's value. The next thing I look at is the recency. I don't like horses that have been away from the racetrack, and especially ones that aren't working out. They don't have to work fast, but as long as they work occasionally in a clocked work. The horse that's been off 3, 4, 5 weeks and beyond, I take a very close look at to make sure that they fit in the average purse value. I've gotten to know the trainers on the Southern California circuit, so I know basically which ones can bring a horse up to a race off of works. But generally speaking, a horse that hasn't been running, unless it's a high-class horse, there's generally something wrong with it because these horses are meant to run. The investment goes begging. There's no return on it at all if they're not running. A horse that's won, especially a horse that's won impressively and then sat in the barn 3 or 4 weeks is usually a throw-out for me unless there's a good reason in my own mind to be able to bet that horse. So I'll attend to that, but I don't have any hard and fast rules. I try to be as flexible as I can. I'd rather err on the side of inclusion than omission. Now, if the horse has had activity, if the horse has been running recently, or at least has a recent race, then I'll go to the pace line. I'll try to stage the most current race that I can find in the chart. If there are any excuses, such as an off track, an obviously bad class level, a 12 post position at a mile and a 16th, or some reason for me not to use the last race, I'll occasionally step back to the previous race. try not to do that as much as possible because I'm afraid I'm not going to have the most current form on a horse. So I'll try to stay to the last one, sometimes two, and then occasionally you go back to a third line, but not too terribly often. Now, I personally use a yellow or a green highlighter and just run the highlighter all the way through that pace line, through the use of the highlighter, and I can't remember any time I've ever used the wrong number from the wrong pace line when I'm trying to handicap the races. Now, one other thing that I consider when I'm doing that pace line is to make sure that the line I've chosen is typical of the horse's running style. In other words, if this is a front runner and the last race happens to be one where he didn't get off too well and came closing, I'll then quite often go back to the previous race to make sure that the running style of the race I've just handicapped is going to fit the normal racing style of the horse. Otherwise, also the daily track variant as published by the racing form is an important part of this whole process. If the track variant is exceedingly high or exceedingly low compared to what the norm is for that racetrack, then sometimes you want to go to another race in that case also. The ideal situation there is to be able to adjust to a norm. For example, I use a 16 as my norm in the Southern California racing area. A horse with a 12, then I'll adjust up to a 16, and a horse with a 20, I'll adjust down to a 16, keeping apples and apples and oranges and oranges. At this point, I've got an average purse value. I have a pace line, some recency to the horse, some obvious form. If the horse is out of form, you wouldn't be doing it at this point anyway. And now it's just a case of making the proper input to the computer and picking up the numbers that are associated with that contender. But I think, personally, that this is where the hard work begins. If you're tracking your racetrack, which I happen to do, I keep close track tabs on my racetrack in terms of what factors are winning and what the pace style is of the recent winners, as you've recommended in your manual. As an example, as this is being recorded, Santa Anita has become an early speed racetrack. Second calls become all powerful. And if your horse is a contender at the second call, there's a good chance that you can cash your bet. Conversely, on the turf course at Santa Anita, it started off to be a front-runner's paradise, but has now turned into a late-speed racetrack. And in fact, the final segment, or the best final segment in the race, from our measurements, is winning just about everything that is being run. As a result of this extra work, we've got an edge over the other players that maybe aren't doing that and aren't using the method to be able to...
From the West Coast, let's go now to the extreme East Coast, to the state of Florida, where a voice of a man who is best known to many readers of Phillips Racing Newsletter as the Greyhound Mutual Clerk, a recognized authority in Greyhound race handicapping, turned professional thoroughbred horse handicapper. Here's Richard Quigley.
My name is Dick Quigley. This is my method for selecting the proper pace line to rate. First thing I do is I make as many mass eliminations as possible. My eliminations are based on A, lack of recent activity. If the horse hasn't been out within the last 30 to 60 days, I will eliminate if it doesn't show any works at all. 30 days, 18 days, if the smaller tracks and cheaper horses, 60 to 90 days for the allowance of state horses. They can keep them in condition longer. Now, I also eliminate horses that show all bad lines with no movement, no early speed, not close to stretch, no gains in ground, no recent workouts, no significant class drops, or anything, just dead horses. I'll eliminate them also at this time. My criteria for keeping in horses are based on one, horse must show some early speed in a race within 30 days. Early speed is considered first, second, or third, or within three lengths at both the first two calls. Two, close up at the stretch call within the last 30 days in a race. First, second, or third, within two lengths. Third, gains ground in a race within 30 days. Gains two lengths between any two calls and spread or three lengths between a loop or pass of three or four horses in the race in the last 30 days. Good recent workout. A neighborhood of 12 36 pleasing, 4 furlongs would be 48 pleasing, 5 furlongs would be 1 minute pleasing, 6 furlongs would be 1:12 pleasing. I think the California tracks run faster than this, but this could be adjusted by a workout chart. Class drops of 2 grades or more, I'll retain the horse. That's 40% down, or from allowance down into a cheap claimer, I'll keep 2. After I've made my eliminations, I now go back and check mark all races that are run within the past 60 days on the remaining entries that are within 5 1/4 lengths of the winner or the winner at the finish. I don't examine the individual races other more than just to see if they were within 5 1/4 lengths at the finish. I do this on all the remaining entries. When this is done, I now go back to each entry and examine it very carefully using the checkmark races only and decide which of the checkmark races gives me the most representative race for the entry. To do this, I will be assisted by the pace chart in the blue manual plus the deceleration figures, and I try to figure out which race is going to be yield the highest pace rating for me. Not necessarily getting the exact, just eyeballing it to see which one I want to underline. If this race represents the running style of the horse correctly, shows some sort of movement, early speed, gaining ground between calls, passing horses, any sort of movement, or is of a higher grade with close up all the way through, I'll use that race too. Then that would be the one that will yield me the highest pace rating, I think, will be the one I'll underline for pace rating. I do this on each entry, referring to the blue manual if there's a difference in distances, and adding the deceleration figure or subtracting it to get the correct pace line, correct. I will then mark each entry with a red ruler and a red pencil, or a red crayon, a red pen, the underline. So that's the race I'm going to feed into the computer. Now the next step is, after I've done with that, I'll examine each entry underline race to see what the approximate, if there's any that are just too slow, and I'll eliminate them, especially if they're going up grade. And if I get it down to 5 or 6, then the race is ready to be fed into the computer. This is the way I choose my pace lines.
Now let's go back to the West Coast, to San Diego, for the opinions and comments of a lawyer. Here's Al Borgerding.
How do I determine a pace line? Well, first I determine if it's a playable race. That is, a race that I can get a line on every contender. After I determine that it is a playable race, I eliminate as many non-contenders as possible. Then I look for a pace line that is representative of the way the horse should run today. I like to examine the past performance lines to get a line on class, condition, and distance or surface preference. There are many ways to determine if the horse is competitive at the class level. You can use average purse value, ability to close in the stretch, or ability to be in the money at a certain level to help determine the class level of the horse. Next, I look at the dates of the races. Has the horse been running a lot of races recently? Is the horse tired, or is just now getting into top shape? Has the horse been freshened? Look at the workouts. Not necessarily the time of the workouts, but the intervals between works and the race. In other words, try to get a feel for the current condition of the horse. Next, determine if the horse prefers sprints or routes. Some routers are entered into sprints strictly for conditioning purposes. If it is a grass race, see if the horse prefers to run on the dirt or the grass. Now, when looking at these lines, I usually start at the bottom of the past performance chart and work my way up. This gives me a feel of where the horse has been in terms of class, condition, and so forth. After I have a feel for the current class, condition, and distance preference, I look for a pace line that I believe reflects this. In most cases, this will be a recent race because I want to use a line that represents how the horse is running recently. At this point, I should mention that if you cannot find a representative pace line for the horse, for one reason or another, then you probably should pass the race, because you have not been able to get a line on every contender in the race. Now, the pace race you select should normally be a race without a meaningful trouble line, and should be run on a normal race surface. For example, a race run on an abnormally slow surface will not give you a true pace line. And if the horse had a lot of trouble in his pace line race, it may not accurately reflect how he's going to run today. Now, you can bring all your pace line races into line by multiplying 0.05 by each point of difference in the daily racing form track variance.
We have subsequently found through a lot of statistics that 0.08 is probably, at this time of the year at least, and I'm referring to early spring, late winter, 0.08 is superior. You should monitor this at your track. Perhaps in the summer months it will go back down to 0.05. Now let's let Al continue.
Pick the lowest track variant horse and make that horse zero. Then add the difference between the zero horse and the track variant of the next contender. For example, if horse A has the lowest track variant of 15 and horse B has a variant of 18, then multiply 0.05 by the 3-point difference. This factor of 0.15 is then used as an adjustment to the pace line of horse B. You may also want to give credit for higher class by giving a horse with a higher average purse value an adjustment. This adjustment is added to the third fraction and is determined in just the same way as you did it in the old manual. The latest computer programs put out by the Institute allow you to compute these adjustments to the pace line. Frank, do you have any comments?
Frank is Frank Cunningham, a professional counselor from San Diego.
Thank you, Al. I would like to offer a few thoughts. An approach I have found successful is to begin my analysis of a race by first reading the conditions of that race. This is very useful in establishing an overall picture of how each horse will fit into today's race. A quick scan of the racing form's data for each horse will probably enable you to eliminate a few horses right off the bat. It will also help you to develop a feel for each horse and how they stack up against one another. Here's an example. The date of the horse's last race may tell you there is no need to consider him any further. He hasn't run in the past 6 months or so. He probably will need a race or two to get into top form. What tracks has he been running lately? Have they been at the same level as today's track? How about today's distance? Is this the horse's best distance, or is the trainer setting him up for a workout? How have his past times been? Is he gradually running faster or slower? Any indicators as to why? Is there any significant weight change? How about the horse's pace pattern? What seems to be the best racing pattern for this horse? Can he run to it today, Who has normally been riding him? Any change today? If so, does this signal a trainer's intention? Class. At what class has this horse been running in the past? Does he fit today? A quick look at the speed ratings, track variant, as well as the workouts. That didn't take very long, and you now have a pretty good feel for a particular horse. You may have decided he just won't cut it today, or you may have selected which pace line you feel is best representative of that horse's present form. Once you have developed a feel for each horse, there are some other factors to keep in mind during the decision-making process. Stay away from taking a pace line from an off-track. You can play an off-track, but don't measure the horse's behavior pattern from an off-track. You're better off passing a race where some of the contenders do not have a measurable pace line. This means most of the maiden races, certain races with foreign horses that have no U.S. record, or a horse with an outstanding past performance line coming into a race after a layoff of more than 45 days. Look for a horse who has run within the last 30 days, but never eliminate a horse on this basis alone. Be wary of a bad last race. There just may be an extremely fast fraction hidden in that bad performance. Don't select the pace line where the speed rating is exceptionally high and the horse has never been able to come close to that speed rating since. A possible exception would be if that high speed rating was the horse's last out. Likewise, stay away from a horse's best race unless it was his last out. Stay away from a pace line that is not typical of the horse's usual running style. And a horse finishing second or third, less than two lengths behind the winner, very strong sign. This gives you an overview of my approach to selecting a pace line. I hope you find the information useful in developing your skills with Dr. Sarton's handicapping methodology.